Thank you, choir, for that special music. It's an honor this morning to have Reverend E. Paul West, Jr. to come and fill the pulpit this morning and bring God's Word. As many of you know Paul West, he was pastor here at Mount Olive. Matter of fact, he was Mount Olive's longest-serving pastor, I believe full-time pastor, longest-serving full-time pastor that we've had here. He served for 11 years from 1963 to 1974. He's certainly no stranger to Mount Olive, and his wife, Betty, of 60 years, went home to be with the Lord about 3.5 years ago, and she's buried here in the Mount Olive Church Cemetery, and so we know this is a very special time for him, as well as a special time for us, as far as his involvement and the legacy that he's had here, and the fact that his three daughters were raised right here in this church, and I think about just how good God has been to Brother Paul and give him these 90 years and to be able to preach even at 90 years old. What a blessing that is from the Lord. And just to kind of put a perspective, I believe when you came here, this building was only 3 years old. This is a new building. And, I don't want to make you sound like you might be getting old or anything like that. But I looked at that a moment ago. I thought 1963. I guess the news of the year was JFK's assassination the year you came. But the Lord has been good to you, to see all these many years of ministry is just fantastic and wonderful, and all the praise to the Lord for that. He has three daughters, Paula and Donna and Anita. I see. I believe are they all here this morning? Everybody here? That's what I thought. Now I know there's a lot of family. He's got, I believe, at least 11 grandchildren, many great-grandchildren, and many of those are here, and some from out of town. I know Dusty and Jennifer here from Kentucky. I'm going to ask all of his family this year, would you please stand? All right, there's some up in the balcony as well. We're so honored to have you and glad to have you here and a full house this morning. But Brother Paul, I'm going to ask you to come and you preach what the Lord has laid on your heart. Honored to have you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, sir. This is a venture of faith this morning for me. Did you notice that I came all the way from my seat here to this podium without my walking cane? Remarkable. Yeah. I've been leaning a little bit on that support, added support over the last few months. Been a little... some little health issues, nothing too serious. I don't want to believe, at least. At one point, they thought I had heart failure and they were giving me about 6 months to live. But then they checked me out again at Duke a day later and said, no, you have a healthy heart, a strong heart, but you have what is called pericarditis. And, I didn't know what that was, but anyway, I've learned since then it leaves me requiring, about, leaves me with a different lifestyle to live somewhat, and requiring when I sing in a couple of core groups, I have to be seated now, and that's an adjustment I've had to make just recently. And really, this is the first opportunity that I've been given. I was called, by the way, to supply at another church at this very hour in Burlington. And wouldn't you know, both came at the same Sunday. But this was the one that I was truly looking forward to being a part of. At any rate, so this will be the first time that I've attempted to speak since they found this condition having to do with my heart, but certainly not heart failure, at least. At any rate, it's just such a joy to be with each of you. I hope that you're hearing me well enough. My voice has been affected somewhat by this situation that I was just speaking of. But as long as I have a little support, and this is good a plenty, shouldn't require this bar stool here. It's here just in case. But folks, take heart, because I'm not likely to need that. I don't think I will. Unless it stretches out to an hour or two or three, and then I don't think I would have a congregation to speak to at all. But it just feels so good to be with you today, and I want to read to begin with from my text, the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 1, verses 7 through 10 of the same chapter. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we walk by faith and by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And the Lord God said to Moses, put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And beloved, this is very much the way I look at this place here today. As I find it so easy to renew old acquaintances and I think about how blessed I am to be here in your fellowship today. I am so privileged to have this opportunity. I really am. I feel that way. How fortunate, how blessed, and how grateful I am for it. And Brother David, I want to thank you for your call. I really do thank you for that. I'm also pleased to see my family here, of course. I think just about all of my three daughters and most of or a good number of the rest of their families are here. Kenny, is Dusty here today? Where are you, Dusty? Oh, there you are. I've been looking for you, Dusty. You and Jennifer both. You know, Dusty thought so much, and it's always, apparently he thinks so much of my preaching, evidently, that he'll drive all the way from practically Cincinnati, Ohio, here just to hear me speak, right? Now you shook your head. Dusty is my oldest grandson, and he and Jennifer have blessed me with, and the Lord has blessed me with three fine children, two precious boys, and one little girl. Boy, did she steal my heart the other afternoon when they spent most of the afternoon with me at home. And he is a minister himself, just as his father is. So there are at least three of us ministers here in the same family. And we have ministers all over the place today. So I feel good if I should fall out. I've got some help. I've got some help. And by the way, let me just say this. I really have. And you'll believe me for sure when I mention this. Kenny, I saw him just walk in. wonder why preachers can be late sometimes to services. Well, he knew who was speaking. That was one day, and he wasn't in that big hurry. Again, no, really, seriously, he is a pastor, and he's already done his preaching this morning at Loves Creek Baptist Church in Silas City. They start their worship services at 9:15 and then have Sunday school. That enabled him to come on here. He read honestly what it was all about. He wasn't convicted enough from his own preaching that he felt like he needed some more. Something that really helped him through the rest of this week, so he came here. good to have these that I've known for some while and have come to be so dear to me. And I think about these that, yes, you're right. We hesitate to say that they are lost. They're really not lost. They're separated from us for a while, but not lost. If we know where someone is, they're not lost, are they? But there's just dearly beloved ones here that's represented here by some of you that are in the service this morning. And a lot of us can relate to that. A lot of us can, I'm sure. And it is hurtful. It is painful. And there is grief. And I must tell you that I didn't know anything about grief until I lost Betty. But at any rate, I'm standing on holy ground today. I thank you so much. I appreciate it again so much. I can truthfully say that in a total of nine churches actually, where I've served as pastor over a period of 45 years, I've never felt more at home at any of these churches, no more at home at least, than I have felt and did feel at home with you back in the 60s and early 70s. And I'll never forget the kindness that you showed our family when we were here. And I wish I had the time to tell you the many reasons that I say this. But if I should take that time, I can't really afford to, because if I do, there might not be any more chicken legs for this old Baptist preacher to gnaw on when he gets to the food table. And then the fellowship that we're looking forward to in just a little while as we're eating together and joining together. And this is going to be tremendous too. A fellowship of kindred minds, which the songwriter says is like to that above. And that's the kind of fellowship that I always knew and found right here. And that's the fellowship I'm feeling with you here today. Driving down this morning then, I must say that my mind and my heart was filled with memories. Beautiful memories of many wonderful experiences here at Mount Olive. Like the Crusade of the Americas, the churches all over the Mount Zion Association, which we participated with, even though this church was not and still isn't, I guess, still in the Sandy Creek Association. But we were involved with a lot of things that were going on in the Mount Zion Association, Crusade of Americas being one, Brazilian pastors coming in and preaching in many of our churches in this county, in this area. And then the 2 weeks simultaneous crusade that we had here, when we had more additions, in my experience at least, than anywhere that I had ever been or have been since, baptizing somewhere between 20 and 25 people at one time. And came so close to making the blunder of blunders as I was baptizing a bunch of them. And at one point in my statement that I generally would make baptizing a person, by the public profession of faith in Jesus Christ is your Savior, Lord, and in obedience to His divine command, I now pronounce you. No, I mean I baptize you. I was about to marry somebody. Now, I had already baptized about 15 people, I guess, when I got to that point. So many experiences. I wish I had time to share a whole lot more. But Betty and I and the girls were just so grateful for the time that we had here. And yes, we did bring up those girls right here in this community. And you were a big help to us. I remember so many people whose faces just flash before me right now. And I was sitting here thinking, quite a number of the people that I see in my mind right now have gone on home to be with Jesus. They're at their heavenly home where we really expected them to be. Yes, one of them being the dearest friend that I ever knew, my beloved companion for, yes, some 60 years or more, Betty. And by the way, I gave her a lot of credit for my being called to this church. And you wonder how that could have happened. Very simply, it was this way. Your pastor search committee had heard me speak at Ashley Heights down in the Sand Hills near Southern Pines in Aberdeen. Following the service, Betty and I were invited to join them for lunch at the Holiday Inn. For lunch and then to talk about the possibility of coming here. And they seated us at a long table. And one was, this was interesting to me, they seated my wife at one end of the table, me at the other. So resulting in about two conversations going on at about the same time, David. And I didn't know what was being said down there where my wife was sitting. She never told me. Never told me what she said to those people. But she must have said the right things, because presently, suddenly, one of them at her end of the table spoke up and said, "He's our man." And they hadn't even, those people had not even spoken, talked to me. But he's our man. Well, surely this had to have been the thinking of every pulpit committee that has recommended a pastor to this church. Your conclusion was, yes, this is our man. This was your man when you called him, and still is. And thank God for your ministry, Brother David. You've been such a blessing to this church and to this whole community. And I hear nothing but good reports all of the time. And we'd all agreed, I know, to that. And so every pastor that you've heard that was called here found you to be a loving and caring people. And we just all felt your love. We felt your warmth. We've seen how this beautiful family has ever reached out to welcome all sorts of folks into this fellowship. You minister to all sorts of people. You minister to the fit, to the unfit, and yes, even to the misfits, the unlovely, the unwanted. But isn't that what Jesus did? Yes, he did. And so for this reason, God has blessed this church. You're born a faithful witness to the saving grace and power of God. You proclaimed his marvelous message of his mighty redemption through his blood shed on Calvary's cross. Yes, it's for reasons of this kind that God has blessed you through the years, and you're strong because of your faith and because of what you stood for over the years. And you will continue to grow and you will continue to prosper as long as you strengthen your stakes, as the Bible speaks of, and lengthen your cords of ministry. That's such a vital part of it all. But aren't you glad to be here today for homecoming? Homecoming is just a special time. You know, the theme of homecoming runs all the way through the scriptures, and it runs all the way through our lives. It's just something that we embrace. Now, that theme is that God is preparing a place for us who are His children. And we're all headed to heaven. We're all going to join those who have gone before us. And the great homecoming is going to be when we join with all of our loved ones and friends through all of the years, throughout eternity. And what a day that will be when our Savior we will see. And we look upon His face, the one who saved us by His grace. What a homecoming that will be. So the theme of the Bible is homecoming. But isn't it true that all during our Christian experience there have been times when we have grown cold and indifferent toward the Lord? Maybe we have neglected our vows to the Lord. And God has called us back to Him. So for some of us, homecoming may very well mean that we are coming back home to God today. Surely this is the place where, with many of us, there have been special, wonderful, growing experiences in our lives when we laid ourselves on the altar of God. You can't forget those times. Some of you perhaps are back to the place of your very first Christian experience. And how delightful it is for those who are back to that point in their lives. But dear friends, in a real sense, we're always going home. And that's what this world is all about, is going home. Our music is filled with these references to the wayfaring stranger. I'm just a wayfaring stranger while traveling through this world of woe. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We used to sing a song which went something like this: I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. You know, I think sometimes we need to be reminded that God's people are not citizens of earth trying to get to heaven. No, we're citizens of heaven trying to get through this world. Now, trying to get this across to the average Sunday morning congregation is almost hopeless. For no generation, I don't believe, has ever driven down its tent eggs in this world as we have done. This wonderland of plastics and gadgets and push-button living seems good enough for most of us today. Settle as comfortably as we are with credit cards and Social Security, who is interested in being bound for the promised land? Dr. Vance Havner, that great evangelist, now gone on to be with Jesus. I've listened to that man a many a time. He said one time, we have exchanged pie in the sky for retirement benefits and have feathered our nest so well that we have no desire to fly. And then he went on to say, we used to feel like traveling on, but now we feel like settling down. I think that pretty much describes our country today. Beloved, the scriptures warn us against the love of money, the cares of this life, and the pride of it. We're bidden, we're called upon to love, yes, but not the world. But to lay up treasure in heaven. We best not be taken in by this world. We best not give our hearts to it, nor we better not conform to its values either. But we need to remember that we are only temporary residents. Listen again to what the Bible says about our temporary status on this earth. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In this verse, Paul speaks of living in a tent here, but looking forward to the heavenly house. He says exactly this. Now we are tabernacling in this world. We are living in an earthly tent, but we have, listen closely now, we have. And I like the verb tense that Paul uses here. It's the verb that says, I already have it clutched in my hand. And that's what Paul is saying here. I already have it clutched in my hand. We have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul was under no illusion about being at home in this world. Paul realized that this world is not all there is. And he reminds us then that we are earthen vessels, but glory bound as Christians. In Christ Jesus, then, we are headed for something much better than what we presently know in this life. And we need to understand that and come to realize it more fully than we do. While visiting with a terminally ill hospital patient one time, he said, you know, Paul, as I see it, we are all terminally ill. This disease that I have, he said, is just speeding things along, speeding up the process. And he was right. Each day we live is one less day that this life will afford us. I know it's a rather sobering thought, but we are earthen vessels that soon pass away. We Christians, however, are more than that. Much more than that. We are earthen vessels, but more. Death is not the end for us. For the Christian, it is not death. It is not death to die. Have you ever heard it put that way? Well, I did just recently. For about 4 years, it's been my privilege to sing with the North Carolina Baptist Singers and Orchestra, giving 8 concerts across the state each year. And following our last concert in Kannapolis a few weeks ago, we were asked to name the participants. We were asked to name the song in this concert that we found most meaningful to us. And guess what? almost without exception, it was one entitled what I just said, and wanted you to be careful and to listen to it. Well, this is for the Christian. It is not death to die. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, the bereaved sisters of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You see, death just slams one door tight while flinging open another. Just that quickly. And so the message of God's word is that we are definitely going home. The message that has left the most lasting impression. The message that has given us the most comfort and hope is that we do have a home to go to, where we'll be reunited with those that were so dear to us on this earth. For the believer, there is no question. It's all through the Bible. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Of course, every child of God is going home. Every child of God is going home, but there ought to be a zest and a thrill about it. There should be some excitement about in the very thought that this is where we're headed to. We ought to make that last lap to home base the best run of the game. Remember that great cloud of witnesses? They could be looking on and cheering us on. And I believe they are in heaven above right now at this very moment. When I was a boy on my grandfather's farm, our old mule, after the day's work was done, climbed the hill up to our house at a clip that belied how tired he was. You couldn't believe that mule would just... He was going home, you see. That was why. He was give out. He was just plumb exhausted. Had to have been. Pulling those truckloads of tobacco. That I was driving, by the way, some of them. On that farm. He was going home. Now let me say this. If an old farm mule... it can end the day like that. We who are glory bound ought to be ready and able to sing with fervor and gusto. One sweetly solemn thought comes to me o'er and o'er. I'm nearer to my heavenly home than before. And truly we are. I don't need to tell you, dear friends, that our world today is in a state of turmoil and confusion, uproar, unrest. As long as I've lived, I've never known the world to be in the shape that it's in today, and neither have you either, I don't think. Who can know what another day may bring forth? It's frightening to even think about. Sometimes when I turn on the TV the next day, oh, what am I going to hear today? That's so tragic. We worry as a nation about what our enemies around the world could very well resort to in order to destroy us. But how concerned is this nation that evil is running rampant all across America, and that Satan is getting in his licks every which way we turn. I don't see our nation that concerned. And we need to pray for our country more than we do. And all the while this is taking place, We Christians, with our vision dimmed and with little, if any, resolve at all, find ourselves at ease in Zion, carrying on business as usual, just like it's just another day. Will God hold us accountable? I believe He will. And I also believe that He is calling us back to Him. If my people, He says, if my people who are called by my name, that's His people, that's you and me, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. There's no question. And this is a part that in my closing moments, that concerns me. That some of us have taken our eyes off Jesus. Some of us have lost our way. If we walk by sight alone, there is little or no basis for hope. But beloved, if we set our course by the radar of faith, keeping our eyes on Him, we shall find our way through the darkness of this world, weathering the storms of life, landing one day on that bright and peaceful shore. Oh, what a homecoming that's going to be. Folks, that's the homecoming I'm looking forward to. But until then, let our prayer be, in the words of the songwriter, as we heard from the reading of the minutes of your last meeting a year ago, what the choir sang, till the storm passes by. Pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, hold me fast. Just let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. But you know, we have to stay connected to the vine. Remember, Jesus said He is the vine. And we are the branches. And just as a branch out of contact with the vine is lifeless, so the believer has no fruitfulness whatsoever apart from his union and his fellowship with Jesus Christ. But as long as we keep that union and we have that union and that fellowship with our Lord and stay connected to the vine, we shall indeed find our way through the dark places in our lives. How is it with you, dear friends? Do you know this Jesus? Do you know Him as your Savior and Lord? Have you given your heart to Him? Have you turned over your life to Him? This one who paid for your sins on Calvary's cross that you might be set free from the bondage that enslaves you now, so that you can inherit eternal life. How is it with you, dear friends? What I've just said. Have you accepted the fact that He and He alone is your greatest need. Will heaven be your home? In his last book, Nearing Home, Billy Graham asked his readers one question. What home are you preparing for? That's all he asked. But then he did follow that up saying, I wonder about what home you're preparing for, but he added, for those who do not know him, choosing your eternal home is the most important decision you'll ever make in this life. And he was right. The fact of the matter is, we're all, every one of us, regardless of age, we're all nearing home. One home or another. Which will it be for you? Have you settled this in your heart and in your mind and soul? I trust that you have. For one of these days, God is going to say to you, just as he said to all of these others whose memory we have honored today and others who have gone before that, it's time to go home. He's going to say that to all of us one of these days. Will you be ready? You will be if you put your trust in Him and you've committed your heart and your life to Him and you've laid yourself on the altar of God with the prayer, oh God, save me, for I know that I have that need in my life. I need you, Lord. Just as that song says that we'll sing in a moment, I need you every hour. Every hour of every day, I need you, Lord. Do you feel your need of the Lord today? You may be here and you're not a Christian. You've never made a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Or you may have been baptized in some church somewhere. But you never have yielded your heart to Him. What I'm saying is, by not having done so, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You're not His child. Now, do you want to meet the end of this life under those conditions like that? I don't think so. I think that if you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you never made a public profession of faith. That is to come forward during the invitation this morning in just a moment or two and say, Lord, I'm surrendering now to you. So much of my life has been wasted. But you have it from now on, Lord. I thank you for coming into this world. Living your life in this world for me. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I have failed you. I've come up short of your standards. Please forgive me, Lord. Please forgive me. And be my Savior. And I promise you that He will. Or as a Christian, you've been following Jesus, but like Simon Peter, afar off, some distance away for some reason, you just haven't been in fellowship with the most precious one in all this world, and that's Jesus Christ. And you need to say, Lord, I put myself on the throne and taken you off of it. Now I want to get that right, and I want to get that right this morning. I'm coming back to you, Lord, and I'm coming back all the way. Thank you for giving me another chance. You may be fit into that category. However, whatever your need is this morning, as we sing our hymn of invitation, being number 450, I need thee every hour. Your pastor will be here to greet you as you come. Come and let go and let God have his way with you in these closing moments of this service. I pray that you will.